Good morning. This meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will come to order. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, and the time is 8:05 a.m. Members present are Representative Jackson, Representative Clayman, Representative Thompson, and myself, Representative Hannon. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Our recording secretary is Lori Rowland, and Madison Truitt is our LIO moderator, assisting with teleconferencing support. Thank you both. My staff, Tim Clark, is our committee aide. If you have notes or other things that you need to get to the committee, please pass them through Tim. Today we will have our second hearing of House Bill 174, the minimum age to possess nicotine and e-cigarette products. The committee has not received any amendments for this bill, but we will be taking public testimony today. And then I will look to the will of committee regarding the committee substitute adopted last week. And I also like to note for the questions from the committee, we have two officials from the Department of Health and Social Services online, Christy Knight, the Tobacco Prevention and Control Program Deputy Manager, will also be available for questions by phone. Joe Darnell, the Tobacco Enforcement and Education Lead, will be available by questions by phone. Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins has joined us. Before we go to public testimony, does the bill sponsor's office want to come forward and refresh the committee's memory regarding the bill?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Carrie Crocker, staff to Representative Knopp.
For the record, into Maya Harbison, staff to Representative Knopp.
Good morning. HB 174 is primarily conforming language to conform the state statute with the federal guidelines for changing the age from smoking from 19 to 21 in the state of Alaska. We've kept the bill as simple as possible as far as just changing the conforming language, just changing 18 to 21, wherever necessary in the statute. We didn't add or subtract anything in the language.
Any questions from the committee? Anybody remembers the bill? Okay. Well, thank you. If there are no additional questions, we'll move to public testimony, and I'm going to open public testimony. I'm also going to put on the record that Representative Delana Johnson has joined us. We need a quick brief at ease. We don't have anyone in the room on the sign-in sheet. Is there anyone in the room who intends to testify on House Bill 174? Then we will go to the online testimony. We have a number of people signed up, and I'm going to go to the earliest to sign in is Noelle Bell at the Matsu LIO. Noelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Noelle Crowley Bell. I am a resident of Palmer, Alaska, and mom to two teens. I'm here representing myself today. I'm in support of HB 174, raising the minimum age to use nicotine to 21. I support this bill because it makes sense. It makes sense to give our kids' brains time to develop before introducing an addictive product like nicotine. It makes sense also to clearly identify a standard age for all adult products that are known to alter the brain operation when used, and it makes sense to have legislation that is in line with the federal law. In closing, I just ask that you would please vote yes and move this bill forward, and thank you again for your time.
Ms. Bell, we have a question for you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say hello to Noel and thank you for calling in. It's just phenomenal and wonderful to hear from someone back home. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
And I'm going to let the record reflect that Representative Drummond joined us at about 8:08. We're going to go to Heather Arno in Anchorage.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yeah.
My name is Heather Arono, and I am the grassroots manager with American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. I am calling in because one of our volunteers, Joseph Yerkowski, is a 17-year-old student at Nikiski High School, and unfortunately his schedule didn't allow him to call in this morning, so I was hoping, with permission of the chair, that I could read across his testimony as well as submit a written version after for the committee.
Yes, you can read his testimony, but please identify him.
Oh, yes, wonderful. Okay, so the person I'm reading this for, his name is Joseph Yerkowski, and he is a resident of Nikiski. He says, hello, I am testifying on behalf of American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network in support of House Bill 174. I am from Nikiski, Alaska, and am a senior at Nikiski Middle/High School. When I was 4.5 years old, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. This 3.5 year battle would result in more than 30 blood transfusions, numerous spinal taps, and what seemed like endless amounts of chemotherapy. This grueling battle would end for me with a positive outcome, but for others it would not. That's why I became involved with American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network 5 years ago, to help others fight this terrible disease, to pay it forward for those children who lost their battle with cancer. This bill is a simple and easy way to prevent cancer in Alaskans. It has been proven time and time again that the longer it takes for someone to start using tobacco, the less likely they'll start in the first place. By increasing the age of sale of tobacco products in Alaska to 21, we are protecting the youth of Alaska from a fatal habit. Furthermore, this bill simply brings Alaska law into compliance with the new federal law, allowing the state to enforce compliance rather than waiting for the federal government to. I'm asking you, not only as a volunteer lobbyist, a cancer survivor, and a concerned Alaskan, to support HB 174. Thank you. Sincerely, Joseph Yerkowski.
Ms. Arono, can you submit that written testimony there at the LIO, and we'll get it?
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
All right. Our next, we're going to go to Terrence Robbins in Ketchikan.
Good morning, representatives. My name is Terrence Robbins, a little slow this morning, sorry. And I'm representing myself, although I have worked in tobacco and another drug prevention for several years now. And I'm calling in support of HB 174. One of the things I do here in Ketchikan is I teach not on tobacco clinics. That's a curriculum from the American Lung Association for youth who are addicted to tobacco. Every class I survey the kids, for every cohort of kids, I survey them on how they get their tobacco, and 100% of them get their tobacco from older friends and family. And I mean, some will steal, but they didn't get addicted to stealing. It's too hard to steal that often. So by raising the age to 21, you're decreasing the circle of friends and family that they have that can go purchase for them, making it less likely for them to become addicted. And this is important because 95% of smokers become addicted before they turn 21. And this law is projected to reduce youth use by 25%, which leads to fewer young tobacco users who don't turn into adult smokers, which saves our community and from the burdens of the cost of smoking. I've lost, as I've testified before in past years, many aunts and uncles to smoking. And secondhand smoke. The other thing, and I, I can get this to you if you need it, but I just read, in wake of this coronavirus thing, Dr. Stan Glantz from UC San Francisco, he's one of the leading tobacco researchers in the country, he just published, sent out an email that the people that are having severe effects from the coronavirus, if they were smokers, they're 14 times more likely to have a severe adverse effect or an escalation, I think is what he called it, up to and including death than non-smokers. So, you know, coronavirus is horrible. There's going to be a future coronavirus-like things that happen, and the fewer smokers we have, the less burden on our population we're going to have because there won't be all these compromised lungs out there. So, anyway, if you would like more information on that, just please let me know, and I will get that to you immediately from the LIO here. So, thank you very much.
Any questions? All right, we have no questions for you, Mr. Robbins. We're going to go north to Anchorage, Casey Frost.
Hi, good morning. Yes, my name is Cassie Frost in Anchorage, and I am a student in the graduate program at UAA. I'm in the Master of Social Work program, and as a part of that, I'm doing my practicum at the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. And I'm calling today in support of HB 174. I have been working in youth and family services for over 10 years now, as well as being a mother myself. And so just being concerned about the health and well-being of the young people in our community is really important to me. In addition, tobacco use has had a really significant impact on my family. My grandmother lost her life 3 years ago to lung disease related to tobacco use. And both my mother and baby sister are also tobacco users and are experiencing health complications, all three of which started their tobacco use when they were teenagers. And so being in the youth development field and understanding what are some of the factors that play into early tobacco use, this is really important to me to be able to preserve brain development and ensuring long life and long health for everyone in Alaska. So I hope all of you can join me in supporting this bill and moving it forward and matching those federal guidelines. So thank you all for your time.
All right. Thank you for your time this morning, Ms. Frost. Next is Steve Taylor in Anchorage. Mr. Taylor, are you available? Can you hear us? Unavailable. No, he's here. All right. Then we're going to go to Sean Da Silva in Anchorage.
Good morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. My name is Sean Da Silva, and I am here testifying in support of House Bill 174. I'm a business owner. We actually have three vapor stores, one in Fairbanks, Alaska, one in Wasilla, and one in Anchorage, downtown area. So first off, we're excited that you guys have acted so quickly to get the Alaska laws in line with the federal guidelines. When the federal law was passed, we actually called the tobacco control in Alaska and were told that they weren't planning on enforcing it until the state put something forward. So we're very pleased to be supportive of that. As a responsible adult-only store, our objective is to ensure that kids do not get access to these products. With the age being lower, there are generally more people in a cohort that can get access to products and provide those to youth. And we certainly want to ensure that our products are only used by adults, and we believe that this law, making it in guideline with federal, will be a very positive outcome for ensuring that tobacco is only in responsible adults' hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Silva. Next, Mike Shriver in Anchorage. Mr. Shriver, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning. My name is Michael Scriven, and I'm representing myself, as well as an advocate for PAVE, Parents Against Vaping and E-Cigarettes. And I want to thank Representative Knopp and his office, especially Shay there, who I spend much time with this summer, as well as Representative Fields for co-sponsoring the bill, and thank his staff, Tristan. Those guys put up with myself and my daughter, Diamond. And I would like to especially thank Representative Hannon from Juneau for taking the time out of your busy day to write a note to my daughter, giving her the encouragement to become involved in civic matters. Not too many 13-year-olds get a note from a legislator. She was proud to show that to her grandma. I speak in support of this bill. I would like also to see a complete flavor ban on the e-cigarette products. And by reading the bill, I couldn't tell if this also included devices. One of the reasons I got involved with this last year was because I have a son who was a all-state basketball player, as well as leading his team to the state championship and received scholarships to play basketball in the lower 48. You can imagine the disappointment I felt when I found vaping products in his pickup. I don't think there's anybody in this committee that would like to find that with their teenager, or would like to look out their window and see their niece or daughter or son or nephews maybe in the neighbor's driveway with smoke coming out of their car windows. I believe this bill would reduce the availability to, I don't think it'll end it, but I think it will reduce the availability to the to the teenagers to acquire these products. I'll leave the statistics to others, but I, in general, speak in favor of this bill. I would like to see further restrictions on the flavored products. All flavored products, a complete ban would be my preference. Anyway, thank you for your time to allow me to testify.
Thank you for your time this morning, and it's been a pleasure to have communications from Diamond. I hope she's doing well at school today.
She is. Okay. She's down south right now watching her brother play basketball.
All right, very good. Next person online to testify is Ann Simons with Juul Labs.
Good morning, Chair Drummond and Chair Hannon. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm Ann Simons, and I represent Juul Labs, and we are in strong support of House Bill 174. I just want to note we have also submitted testimony as well. I'll keep my comments brief. Juul Labs has made the passage of Tobacco 21 a priority. Increasing the age to 21 is the single most impactful policy you could pass. We know that the primary access point for kids is through social sourcing. Over 70% of kids access their products through friends, from their, say, 18-year-old friend. And it's for that reason that we support Tobacco 21, because we don't believe any kid should be accessing our product. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 174.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Simons. The next is Matt Wagner with Fat Boy Vapors.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for this opportunity, Chairs Drummond and Hannon and members of the committee. I am Matt Wagner, and I represent Fat Boy Vapors, and I am testifying in support of HB 174. As an owner of one of the largest electronic cigarette retail store chains in Alaska, we have locations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Wasilla, and we've been open since 2013 and have helped tens of thousands of Alaskan shops. The continued response we've had from the customers is that it has changed their lives. We're thrilled to help people get off of combustible cigarettes, and it is our desire to continue helping our community. From the get-go, it has been imperative to our stores and our industry to prevent youth access, and we go through great measures to ensure that we never sell to underage individuals. The recent change in federal law to support C21, we believe the state of Alaska should change their statute to ensure that we are in compliance with federal law. We believe that this bill will prevent youth access to our products as well as traditional tobacco products. Our sole objective in operation of our stores is to end the epidemic of smoking and tobacco use and to wean people off the use of nicotine altogether via the use of decreasing nicotine strengths until the individual is completely free of nicotine. This bill encourages that progression by preventing access at an early age. In the future, we'd also encourage you to require electronic mandatory ID checks and increased funding for enforcement efforts in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. Next is Mike Coons in Palmer.
Yes, this is Mike Coons, and I'm speaking for myself, and I'm going to be opposing this. And I understand that this is coming from the federal, this is in conjunction with the federal side, with President Trump pushing forward for age 21. And I am a huge Trump supporter. Most of you know that I'm a very big, huge Trump supporter. But in this, I have problems. I'm coming at this from the standpoint that I'm an ex-smoker. I've smoked for 30 years. And I started smoke. My first cigarette was when I was 14, was smoking Lucky Strikes. My dad found out that I was smoking, and I had to chain smoke a pack of Lucky Strikes. And that got me stopped between 14 and 18. When I turned 18 and joined the Air Force at basic training, that's when I started smoking again. And I smoked for 30 years. When you're 18, you're young and dumb. You don't make a lot of good decisions. But yet, I'm an adult. So what's happened here is we have clouded what an adult is over these last several decades like crazy. An adult is at age 18. But then, at age 18, we could vote. At age 18, we can be drafted. At age 18, we can buy a car. We can go into debt. We can make really stupid decisions. We can do things on our own without being co-signed because we're no longer minors. Then all of a sudden, it turned to 19 to get cigarettes. And then it turned to 21 to get alcohol. And then, of course, when we were kids, if we wanted to get booze, we just figured out ways of getting it. And if we wanted the cigarettes, we still figured out how a way to get it. And then we turned. Now we got this thing with like Obamacare, where and you're not an adult until you're age 26 because your mommy and daddy can keep you on your insurance plan until age 26. So this whole issue of who is a minor and who is an adult keeps moving the goalpost all around all the time. So no wonder we got kids out there and they don't think that they were responsible for something because they're not adults. As far as vaping goes, I've been around guys that vape when they first started, didn't have a problem with it. It was just a strictly, this thing that went in the air and it dissipated, it was gone. It didn't have the smell. We didn't have the worries. Somebody talked about this, the state smoking cessation group. That was useless. When I tried to quit smoking for several times using that, that was the most worthless organization I've ever seen in my life because I couldn't, if I wanted to do it, I had to come from Palmer and to go into Anchorage. I had to do it on a work day, during work time. And then if you did go to a smoking cessation, which I have gone to, you got treated like primeval ooze that wasn't dried yet. So it wasn't effective. So I had this real problem, I think.
Mr. Coons, that's been 3.5 minutes. Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. This boils down to personal choice. And people have choose to either be smart or choose to be dumb, and so I oppose this.
All right. Emily Ninan from the American Cancer Society in Anchorage.
Hi. Good morning, Chair Hannon, members of the committee. This is Emily Neenan. I'm the Alaska Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, and also calling in to support all the good work that Representative Knopp has done, particularly over the interim as the federal law passed, and making sure that this legislation is going to just create a uniform regulatory environment for the for all tobacco sales in the state of Alaska. We are fortunate in this state to have a robust youth compliance check program, really good working relationships with vendors in general, opportunities to train vendors to make sure that they don't sell. We've seen great success in that, much more success even than many states that don't have the robust compliance program that we do have. So we're fortunate for that. This is not a panacea. This is the one difference I will say when you hear some wonder why the e-cigarette companies and the health agencies are all supporting the same thing. This is one piece that we can do. There are other pieces. We can take those up at another time, but this is an important piece to get in line with the federal action and make sure that we have that uniform regulatory environment to protect our youth from tobacco. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Neenan. Was Steve Taylor able to come back online? Okay, don't see that. Is there anybody else? I have several people signed up to answer questions. Did any of you want to offer any testimony? And I'm going to ask. Hello?
This is Sharon Walsh and Amber Whaley with the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing, and we don't have any questions of the committee.
Okay. And did anyone else in the room change their mind or come in and wish to offer testimony? Okay, we've got somebody in the room, gentlemen. So you're going to come forward, and you're going to state your name and then give us your testimony.
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, we need your...
Oh, yes. Sorry. First time ever doing this. My name is Sarah Eaton. I live in Wasilla, Alaska, and I own Alaska Elixir Vapes, LLC. I'm on the fence about this because I agree with the person that called in and was opposing it, where you make our children adults at 18, but... yet they can't make the choices to be a true adult. I personally have a son that is 20 years old, and he works for me. He has worked for me since he was 19. Well, actually 18, because it was a few months before the 19 went into effect. So, well, he turned 19 before the 19 went into effect. So it worked out. This time I'm afraid that it's not going to work out. We might be a month shy. We might be 2 months shy. What am I going to have to do? Fire my son until he turns 21? Put him out of work? You know, he has a home that he's buying. He has a family that he's supporting. You know, it worries me. But then on the other side of it, I agree. I, as a store owner, I fully do not let people come into my store that are under the age of 19 right now. And, you know, and perfect example, yesterday, I had somebody come in, I ID'd her, she went out to her car and was talking to somebody in the car. I went out to the car and said, who are you? Why are you buying this for yourself, or are you buying it for the person in the car? Because if you're buying it for the person in the car, I need to see that person's ID right now. And if he doesn't have his ID, then there's no sale happening. Have a good day. I would rather lose money, lose sale, than sell to minors. I have a 15-year-old daughter. She goes to Rochelle. She comes home all the time telling me about people in the bathroom vaping. And it makes me so mad. I tell my daughter to go tell on those people. Please, you can do it anonymously. Go tell on them. Get them in trouble. I own a vape store, and I'm telling my daughter to go tell on them because I don't want children to have this product. It's not okay. But then I think about the young adults. And that's not okay either, to take that away from them. You know, it really isn't. I came here today because I was confused my first time doing this. I really want to talk about the tax. But after hearing all this testimony, I feel because I own a vape shop and I'm here in your guys' face, this is the first time I've ever done this, that I really felt like it was important that you hear my side. And I'm on the fence because I agree with it. We need to take it out of the children's hands. But you know how to do that? Get it off the internet, because that's how they're getting it. And I prove this every day. I show my daughter, go onto these websites, find a vape, go try and buy something online as I'm looking over her shoulder. She lies and says she's 21. And then she was even able to use her credit card, her Matt Valley Visa debit check card, to purchase those items online. Then I tried to say, okay, go into the local stores, see what happens when you go into the local stores, or even to Tesoro or Holiday, and try and buy something. Couldn't do it. Denied. Kicked out of the store. You're underage. Just like a liquor store. Get out of here. You're underage. You know, so I just want you guys to think about it. I'm on the fence with this one. I don't oppose it, and I don't agree with it, because I don't think that we should take it away. And my store's not the only one that has not even underage, but young adults that work for them. I know 5150 in Soldotna. He is in the same situation. And if this passes, we're going to have to fire our employees, you know? So if you're going to do it, put the clause in there to grandfather in our current 19 to 21-year-olds. Grandfather in stores like mine, so that we don't have to fire our employees because they're not quite 21. That's all I ask. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Evans, thank you for coming and testifying in person today. Are there any questions? Ms. Evans, I do have a question for you.
It's Eaton.
Eaton, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sarah Evans is the other committee staff, so I'm... And she's sitting right behind you, so my brain's just... Yeah.
You can call me Sarah, too. That's fine.
Well, then there'd be many of us responding. Sorry. So... how do you currently comply with the new federal law of 21? Are stores not been notified to comply,
so,
or what's the date of compliance?
I apologize for interrupting you. I so apologize. Okay, so when the government or FDA or the Trump did his thing in December, we called the tobacco enforcement. That's who governs my store. That's who's going to give me my ticket. That's, you know, who's going to shut my doors. So I called the head of there and asked him what's going on. And they're like, it's here. You guys have to tell us what to do. Yes, federally it's that way, but you guys govern us. They just give us, like, here's it's the suggestion, but it doesn't mean we have to do it. I do see that this suggestion has like a contingency, I guess you'd call it. Like, if you don't do it, you're not going to get your funding. But then if you look at Idaho, it was Idaho. They just did it and they said no, and they're still getting their funding. So it almost feels like it's a scam from the government. But for my store, we once a year have my employees go on to We Card, and there is a program that is a video test type thing that they go through, and it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to get through the full video, but it's really awesome. It tells, like, it runs them through tests. It tells them what to look for, and then it runs them through tests on, like, how to identify bad IDs, how to make sure people are actually, you know, like, not using a fake ID or a tampered ID. It also allows them to have the communications, because people get really upset at you if you don't do sales. So if we, it gives you sentences to say to customers, like, I'm sorry, it's the law. I can't do it. and or you know, I can't do it as they say, don't say that, but it's the law, you know, take it up with legislation.
Okay.
You know, and so it helps, and once a year they go in and redo it. Right. And we have signage all over our store. The stuff that you guys have sent us to put up, because there's signage from you guys that require us, but I've also went and spent more money on We Card because they're big, bright yellow and orange and no 21, and they're like this big, and I put those, we're not, in Wasilla, we're not supposed to have any signage in the window, but I asked for permission because I put those in the window. I want people to know that my vape shop, if you're under the age of 19, of course it'll change if this does, you can't come in here. And it deters people, it really does. When the Smoke-Free Alaska came to the store, the people that go to the schools and talk to the students, they came into the store and talked to us, and they were really impressed with how much signage we had saying don't come in if you're underage.
Okay. Representative Jackson.
Thank you. Through the chair, you did raise a concern with me, and that is young adults, 21, working in these establishments. Does your son smoke or vape?
Yes, he vapes.
Okay, so is your major concern that he won't be able to, or that he won't be able to help grow the family business?
He won't be able to help grow the family business. He's here with me today.
Follow up?
Representative Jackson.
So if there were provisions made, and I'm just asking, that he could work, because I'm proud of him to have a family and working and continuing the family business. We need more of that. And that's a thin line that I would prefer not to cross. But would your son or other employees of a family-owned shop be willing to sign a contract that they won't vape or smoke until they are 21?
I couldn't answer that question.
Okay.
Well, wait, so you're asking me as a store owner to have a contract
as a mother
for
the chair. Yeah. As a mother, your son is helping the family business, and now here comes a law that states until he's 21 he will not be able to smoke or vape. But your fear, your concern that I heard, that he will lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, would they be willing to make adjustments in order to keep their job if that was likely?
Can I invite him up here, please, my son? Because honestly, I like to talk to my son and ask his opinion, because he's 20 years old and he has an opinion. Cameron, please come up here. This is my son, Cameron Eaton.
So you need to sit at the microphone and put your name on the record, please.
Hello, guys. Thank you for letting me come up. My name is Cameron Eaton.
So can you answer her
question? Yes. To answer that, I would be 100%, you know, down to sign any type of contract. I mean, being in this industry, I completely understand, you know, you guys' standpoint on it. I don't want to see anybody, kids, dying. I have personally family members that are dying from lung-associated illnesses. I mean, my grandfather, he's on a respirator, you know what I mean? He has oxygen. And so, with that, I mean, I do agree we do need to adjust to set into something to make it a lot harder for these kids to obtain them. And with the work, of course, that's a big part that I worry about. And then also comes, there's a lot of.
Mr. Eaton, would you be 21 by next January 1st, 2021?
I turned 21 in August, so. Okay.
Just so both of you know, the law as it's written now, the bill as it's written, would go into effect next January 1st.
Okay, well, that's so good. I was told by the Tobacco Enforcement that it could be this summer. And with that, of course, we're fearful.
So, Ms. Eaton, the range of possibilities is any date into the future. But what is written on the page and the law as it's proposed right now is January 1st, 2021. And in general, the effective date when a law, if passed, goes into effect is not usually moved up during dialogues, because discussions about how will you prepare as an agency for enforcement. So sometimes those dates change, but they don't usually move up very far because you need time to change signage, come into compliance, etc. Representative Jackson.
Thank you, through the chair. So to Cameron, thank you for coming up and speaking. So you are saying that you would be willing to not smoke in order to keep your employment.
Yes, 100%. That's actually one reason that I started vaping. I began smoking at a really young age, about 14 years old, just due to, you know, peer pressure. Honestly, was a big part of it, you know. I grew up in kind of a low-income housing, and due to that, you run into a lot of not very good people, so to say, you know what I mean? And I got introduced to it at a very young age. With, you know, switching over to vaping, that's one thing that I've been able to get completely off of nicotine. I don't contain any nicotine in my vape. So even quitting, and that's one thing that I vouch to my customers. I can completely go without vaping, you know what I mean? The only reason I ever touch them is to show customers how they work. If that wasn't sent into play, most of the time I don't even vape at work. You know what I mean? Just because I don't need to. And that's why I am a very big advocate for vaping, is to get people off. And I've seen a lot of good, you know, out from that.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you. I think Representative Klayman.
He's waved me off.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, both Eatons, for coming to testify today. Is there a step down in the amount of nicotine in certain vaping products in order to help you get off of it, so to speak?
Yes. So it starts with most of the time I try getting people on like 6 milligram, right, which the nicotine levels will be typically you find is 0, 3, 6, and sometimes 9 and 12. Normally that 9 gets cut out. And then recently, you guys noticed with Juul and some other products, the 50 milligrams and 25 milligrams. I really push for the 6 milligram. And then from there, it's really easy to come down to 3 and then to 0. You know what I mean? And move them down. But the big part of it is I have to get them off the carcinogens and all the other things, all other addictive properties inside of cigarettes, right? So once I get them on that 6 milligram and help them stop craving the cigarettes, next goal, I'm like, hey, now let's try this, 3 milligrams, right? Most of the time, I can get them to that 0 when I tell them, hey, you can get a huge health cut off for your health insurance if you go to 0. And then most of the time, they go down to 0, and they're like, I don't even need it. You know what I mean? They leave for, you know, go to the, you know, work or something like that, and they don't turn around and go and get it. And then they go 8 hours, and they're like, let's see how much longer I can go. And next thing you know, I don't see them, you know, ever again, which is my goal, is to never see them again. I tell them that. I want you to quit, you know? I don't want you to continue vaping. I want you to get off cigarettes. I want you to get off the vape so you can have a longer and healthier life so your kids, your grandkids can see you. You know what I mean? That's my importance, especially seeing my family members go through what they have.
Great. Thank you. I thought that was the case when I interviewed the shop down the street here a couple of years ago. They showed me specifically the vaping products with the step-down amounts of nicotine. And you understand that this bill, should it pass the way it is, doesn't take effect until next January 2021. So your concern about having to quit your job and your mom having to fire you is a moot point.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No more questions, it looks like. Thank you for your time and for coming down to testify in person.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for letting us talk.
And I'm going to do a last call on public testimony. Is there anyone else in the room, or has anyone else joined us online? I don't see anyone, so I'm going to close the public testimony. and return to the committee. Representative Drummond, do you have a motion for us?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move committee substitute for House Bill 174, Work Order 31LS0957/S from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the bill will move from committee, and I'll make my announcements, and then if the committee members will stay so that we can sign the paperwork. Our next community and regional affairs meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday, March 17th at 8 a.m. in this room. We'll be hearing from former members of the Climate Action for Alaska leadership team, who will talk about the team's climate action recommendation that was published in 2019. Committee members, please stay in the room until we've signed the bill report. And we are adjourned at 8:51.